I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
We realize this episode has been over a year in the making. I am so pleased to have a kindred spirit here today, Jeff Ostroff, who has Jeff Ostroff and Associates. You do many, many things. You've written books, you've taught, you have marketed to specific niches, and you are also a podcast host. And I'm just so thrilled to have this conversation. So Jeff, thank you for being here.
My pleasure, Anika. It's great to finally meet you.
I know. And now we're going to be in better touch. And I'm really excited to see what we can do together and put some things on the schedule. So I want to talk through your career a little bit because you majored in communication and media studies.
I did.
Right? You had radio shows. I mean, you've been a personality. You've done a lot of talking. You've had a lot of varied experience in your career. So can you unpack a little bit of that for us? Because I think it's an interesting journey, and I know that my audience always loves to hear that story.
Sure. Well, I majored in radio, TV, film, and I really had wanted to get into broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished college, I happened to go out to Oregon, and a guy that I met out there, who I'm still friendly with, by the way, lives in Texas, we ended up visiting a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought I'd be a disc jockey. One point a sportscaster, but I'd kind of veered towards disc jockey because I love music. And certainly back then, and even today, rock and roll music. And we happened to visit this little studio where there was this radio station that was playing Solid Gold Oldies. KROW, I think, was the name of that station. I don't know if they still exist. And I came to find out, it was almost like the Wizard of Oz, Anika. I came to find out that this radio station was being personed or manned by one guy wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and he was doing everything by himself.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought to myself, you know, I just got this four-year college degree. I graduated with high honors. Nah, I don't think I want to do this.
Oh, no.
So anyway, I ended up being involved in communications and marketing in my career, which oftentimes involved me having to give public presentations, sometimes for fees in the middle third of my first career, and other times more not for fees and for training and that sort of thing. I did not have my own radio show. However, I was a disc jockey at parties. That may be where you're getting that idea.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun disc jockeying at parties, particularly because the party experience was a very joyous one for people. And what I got to do was play these great songs that I liked, and it was the disco era. So I was also playing a lot of disco, and part of my job wasn't just to spin records, it was to have people play games and interact with one another, so that they really had a great time. So that was a lot of fun. Another thing that I did on the side that sort of relates to this, and frankly, I think it's the closest to Jeff Ostroff that I ever got in my life as a vocation, but more of an avocation. It was on the side. I ran bicycle tours, Anika.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that in the suburbs and nearby counties surrounding my birthplace, which is and was Philadelphia. And we would take people on weekend bike tours, my buddy and I, a lot of single people, because I was single back then. And we would take them to places where they would get away from the hubbub of the city, being out in nature, we take them to different scenic spots. Sometimes they were learning things where we had people presenting to them, and sometimes we were just stopping to look at the birds in the forest. We eat, and it was just such a wonderful experience because I've always liked meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the few things I'm good at, I'm very humble about this, I'm not good at a lot of things, but one of the few things I'm good at is I'm a good ice-breaking person. I'm not shy. I'm good with meeting new people. I'm usually good with making people feel comfortable. And so the combination of the fitness and exercise, which I'm still really into, the getting out away from the hubbub and finding peace and quiet, seeing these beautiful sights of nature and some cases museums and, you know, other nice places where we would stop. And of course, the social camaraderie of it all. By the end of the weekend, everybody kind of knew one another. And we actually had, in one case, a reunion of people we got together in New Jersey. So that was really, I think, the essence of who I was. And I almost got into that much more seriously, but liability costs were horrific. Insurance liability, and somebody had fallen on the last trip we did. They didn't get hurt, but I realized that having just bought a house then, I was very much vulnerable if somebody did get hurt.
Right. Yeah.
So anyway, all that ended up in this career that I had, a lot of which was spent in healthcare and aging. And I ended up making that a niche in the middle third of my career. I wrote a book called Successful Marketing to the 50 Plus Consumer. Used to talk, consult, write about that a lot. You alluded to some of this, booklets and things like that. And interestingly enough, after I retired from my first career, I actually have mostly lost interest in that niche, except where it really fits in with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's just because, well, you know, I did that for a long time. I don't really feel like doing that anymore. Or if it's because I'm actually playing the part now of somebody who's well over 50. And it was fun when I wasn't over 50, but now I'm over 50. I don't really know anything about it.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because I've had a lot of conversations around marketing to Gen Z and marketing to younger generations.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what we focus on, you know, when I'm teaching. But I, next week, am going to be 1 year away from 50 myself. And so I'm really interested to hear what the differentiators are and how you see marketing to that demographic as different. So I don't know if you would be like, oh, darn, like that's part of what I wanted to talk about. So if you're willing to share some of the things that you learned during the course of your career, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Well, in that third of my career where I was focused on marketing to people over 50, I shouldn't say the first third and the last third of my career, it was more about healthcare and mostly older people. Okay. Like Medicare, the VA.
Yeah. Okay.
So a lot of the users of the services were people who were older, of course. But in that middle third of my first career, it was all about marketing. And I guess there's so many things I could talk about there, but one of the things is that most people who are over 50, and again, it's, you don't want to generalize, but most people over 50 still have a lot of life left in them.
Yeah.
And so there's a great need for those individuals to identify things that they can try out, experiment with, do something new with, maybe pick up on something they did when they were younger, maybe try something new. My girlfriend, as an example, is now doing different kinds of glass, fused glass jewelry and making scarves. Now, that's not necessarily to make a lot of money. I myself have gotten into a whole second career here. But the point is that there's still most, you know, again, it's too hard to generalize about so many millions of people. But at 50, especially nowadays, even though life expectancies dropped a little bit in the U.S., it's slowly coming back up due to COVID, there could be a lot of life left in your tank.
Yeah.
And I think that where it might have been thought of many years ago as, well, you know, this is the time I'm just going to retire and not do that much. No, you have to keep active and doing things mentally and physically.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very, very important consideration. And again, it's a vastly different group of people. I heard yesterday, not surprisingly, there are a lot of people, baby boomers, for example, mm-hmm. who are not doing very well at all, financially mm-hmm. or health-wise. I am a very fortunate individual, as mm-hmm. is my girlfriend. But some people, many people, for differing reasons, aren't faring so well. They don't have their own homes. Or yeah. they have a mortgage that they still have to pay off maybe for many years. Their well, health may not be that great. So one very important thing I would say to you is you are on the cusp. This is the time for yeah. you to do the things that you need to do if you haven't already done them. And I think you probably are doing them that will help to put money in the bank, so to speak, right. literally and figuratively, to help you have a better quality of life as you age on out, however long that is.
Right.
You cannot start too young, whether it's saving, whether it's exercising, whether it's looking to meet people, make new friends, find hobbies and interests. You don't want to be one of those people who waits too late to do that stuff.
Yeah. That's such a good point, because I remember when you're younger, you think 30 is old, then you think 40 is old. And then when you get to this age and you're in your 40s, I'm like, I'm in my prime. I know myself better than I've ever known myself before. I'm less afraid to stand up for myself and to be really authentic. And I also have the opportunity to say, oh, what can I do to propel my health forward? And I think we start thinking about those signs of, oh, okay, maybe I need to get prioritize sleep, or I need to make sure I have a certain amount of exercise every day. And like you said, new hobbies, new things that we can incorporate to keep ourselves fit physically, because we're still very mentally fit. I mean, I don't feel like I'm almost 50, right? Mentally.
Yes.
Although
yes.
who knows what that means anymore. It's changed so much.
It really has. it really has. And it's also about keeping life interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
There's so many things I feel that are out there to explore. And there's so many people out there. I think about LinkedIn, and I am connected with such a small fraction of just the LinkedIn universe of people. There's almost an endless variety of things to do. But in order to do those things, you have to put yourself in a position where you are mentally and physically well enough to be able to appreciate them and pursue them.
Right.
But nobody should wait too long or take anything for granted with that.
True. True. So let's talk about the next phase. You're a podcaster. You have the Looking Forward podcast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And who's your ideal guest? What would we learn? And obviously, I'll put the link to the podcast in the show notes.
Yes. Thank you very much. Well, Looking Forward, the full name is Looking Forward Opportunities for Job, Career, Business, and Investment Seekers, Anika.
Amazing.
So it's a long name, but it's shortened Looking Forward. But Looking Forward is called Looking Forward because it's putting out positive, upbeat, useful, I hope, information for people, inspiring information for people that is genuine. I don't do any spamming of people. I don't try to get people to click here and give me their email address. I probably should do that, but that's not what this is about. What I'm trying to do, and a lot of this is not for people over 50, by the way, but it's certainly applicable almost equally for people over 50, is I try to make people aware of opportunities that are out there. Global opportunities based on marketplace and societal trends. And my guest experts, almost all of whom have very high credentials, either as authors, as professors, as you are, as CEOs or senior executives. They speak to the audience and to me about a global trend or two that they're an expert on. They then talk about the opportunities related to that particular trend. Yeah. And then they give people some tips to get them going. And they talk a little bit about the future. And what I should say is it's called looking forward, first of all, because when you're looking forward to something, it's not usually looking forward to jumping off a cliff.
Right.
Unless you're a cliff diver. If you're a cliff diver, then I guess you are looking forward, right? But looking forward usually connotes something positive. And looking forward also, it's a double entendre, also in the sense I'm looking into the future a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the show focuses on. We're not like a lot of podcasts where they're sort of focused on one very specific thing. I guess our specific thing is opportunities.
Well,
that's a trends and opportunities and a little bit of the future.
Right.
So we're more about putting out some, what I think is very important and uplifting, useful information for people. And I think every day there are millions of these people, Anika, who are looking for either a job, career, business, or investment opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, there are hobbies. I talked about that with you. We don't talk so much about hobbies, but that's a whole other different kind of an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. Now, the other thing I want to mention is how I got into that was I actually started my second career by creating a professional studio on my third floor. We're not on my third floor now, but my professional studio.
Wow.
And I was doing voiceovers, professional voiceovers, which was a passion of mine when I was a kid. And I, this is like getting into something you wanted to that you didn't do when you were younger.
Exactly.
So that's how I got started. But then in 2020, COVID. And things really slowed down.
Yeah.
And I decided, since another one of my passions, ever since I was a kid, and my dad of blessed memory bought us a reel-to-reel tape recorder, was interviewing people, conversing with people, family, friends, whatever. I just did that naturally. And so I thought, initially, I'm going to do a podcast. This is in 2020, June, when I launched. I'm going to do a podcast about the baby boomers. And then I thought about it, Anika, and I said, you know what? A, I'm not as interested as I told you. I mean, I'm interested for me as a listener, but I'm not as interested in leading that. And B, being an expert on a topic, which I was when I was focused on the 50-plus market, is very demanding because you need to keep up with things religiously.
Mm-hmm.
I used to worry when I would give presentations at big, you know, programs, big conferences, that one of my slides, and I remember specifically, Anika, I had a slide of George Burns and his book, which was called something like How to Live to Be 100 or More. That was the title of his book. And he was still alive then. And I would tell a little story about George Burns, and I would sometimes get concerned, oh my God, I forgot to check to see if he's okay today. Because I was concerned that somebody might say, you fool, don't you realize he died yesterday? And you didn't say anything about that, right? So being an expert, that's a small example, is not an easy thing. So I decided, you know what? I've always been fascinated by trends in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The longest and hardest chapter to write in my book was called Marketing to the Mature, quote-unquote, Consumer in the 21st century. I wrote the book in the late 80s, very late 80s into 1990. Wow. And I got a lot of things right with that, by the way. But I was fascinated by what would the future look like.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what? I'm going to do a podcast about trends and the future and where the opportunities might be. And so that's what got me started with looking forward in June of 2020. We've done 133 episodes so far. I'm not as prolific as you are, but I'm very pleased with them. We've got some great episodes coming up. One is going to be about AI. Another one is about senior executive jobs and trends.
Nice.
Another one is really exciting. It's going to be about social entrepreneurship and the opportunities that are being created there in working with the private sector and all over the world.
I love that.
So I'm excited about that. I have done another podcast too, but it became really hard for me to do both of them. That one was all about healthcare. It's called Healthcare on the Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at one point I talked to you about Healthcare on the Horizon because I had a client for PR who I was like, oh, she should be on your podcast. But I love the idea of looking forward. A lot of what I do for my day job is our agency works primarily with workforce development and workforce boards and adult basic education to try to make sure that people are getting the right skills for the jobs that are going to be available in the future.
And,
you know, looking at regional data. Okay, what jobs are here? Is it manufacturing? For auto tech, for instance, people need to know how to do everything on computers and run diagnostics. So I'd love for you to unpack, Jeff, some of the trends that you and your guests have talked about and what you see as some of the things that we really need to be thinking about when we're thinking about the future of work, the future of investment, the future of all of the things.
Sure. Well, to start with, I've had a great guest on the show. He's actually been back more than once, and he has talked about the whole podcasting industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that it's going to be around for a while.
Thank you.
I think it opens up a lot of opportunities for people, not limited to creative people who are solopreneurs, but also people who will be working in the industry and will have a variety of skills to work with companies who, for whatever reason, need people to help out with podcasting, whether it's creating podcasts, whether it's producing podcasts, whether it's marketing podcasts.
Right.
I see that as continuing to be big. And what I'm also seeing is somewhat of a merger between podcasting and radio, where you're now seeing radio networks, radio shows putting out podcasts.
Yeah.
So that's been an interesting area to explore. Another interesting area is I just had a guest on who talked about, he gave it this name. He may not have created it, but I wouldn't have thought of it. Aquatech.
Huh.
I just put that episode out, number 133, Riggs Ecclebury. And he's got a company that's just gone public called Origin Clear. And they have developed technology that helps mostly commercial and agricultural businesses to get the sewage cleaned out of their water, which is a big problem, and also recycle their water.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
And there are going to be a lot of opportunities in the whole area of the water industry, whether it's improving the water infrastructure for the general public or focusing on the businesses, the commercial businesses who have dirty water, the trailer parks who are putting out sewage into public areas, lagoons, that sort of thing. So not at all to miss out on mentioning the whole issue with water shortages.
Exactly. Well,
which, you know,
I'm in California.
Change.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a big issue here of how much water can we get from the Colorado? Does the Colorado have enough to sustain us? How much agricultural needs are there? I just read an article about carrots and how much water they take. So that, I'm definitely going to flag that episode to listen to next.
I would appreciate that. I let people know because I think Riggs is onto something great and his company just went on NASDAQ. Another great opportunity, which a lot of people don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
And it relates to so many of us. The pet industry.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Cooper has been my guest twice. And let me back up. I should mention, to give him credit, James Cridland is the guy who speaks about both radio and podcasting, and he's been on my show three times. He's the only one who's been on three times, twice podcasting, once radio. But Phil Cooper's been on twice. The guy has been in the pet industry for like 55 plus years.
Amazing.
And Phil talks about the whole gamut of opportunities that are out there, from whether it's creating products that pets would play with, foods, wellness, even oriented foods for pets. Pet stores are still an opportunity. Pet sitter opportunities, but it's a billion dollar industry, the pet industry, and it's global.
Yeah.
So that is another one that I think is just going to continue to flourish. Obviously, franchising, will continue to be big. I've had a couple of guests on, John Austinson being one of them, and I hope I can think of the other one before the show ends here. Tom DeFore. They are coming at it from different perspectives.
Thanks.
But franchising has become huge. And what's interesting about it, one of the things I recall about it, is that it's franchising going from the United States to other countries.
Oh.
Some of whom may not have had much franchising.
Uh-huh.
And also a great interest on the part of those franchises who are not in the United States coming to here and Canada in North America.
Interesting.
I would say another opportunity, this is one I haven't specifically covered on the show, but it relates to looking forward, which is now in Nigeria. We're working with MTN, a very large telecom. And that is the African marketplace. Africa is going to be exploding. I can't say all of Africa necessarily, but the countries that I'm familiar with are going to be exploding because they are very interested in growing their economies and making other parts of the world aware of the potential that is there. Mm. So I see that as being a new boom land.
Right.
Africa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are lots where AI, of course, I have a guest I mentioned who will be coming on in January, Manoj Agarwal. And Manoj is an expert on AI, and he is so bullish about AI. He is not that worried about AI taking jobs. He had something very important to say.
Mm.
He said, you know, if you don't learn AI, you back away from it. If you deny it, almost like maybe people were sort of not latching on to the internet. He said, you are not going to keep your job.
Yeah.
But if you learn AI and you use AI, that is going to help you keep your job and or move into something else. In fact, he had a great illustration of his own life where he said that when he was starting out, or maybe shortly thereafter, he decided to check out the internet. It might have been in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that 2 or 3 years later, when he was looking for another job, I may get this, the years a little wrong, but it was sometime soon thereafter, he was looking for another job. And if he didn't know how to apply using the internet, forget it.
No.
You know, you had to apply at that point by using the internet. So AI seems like it's going to be creating a lot of opportunities in all kinds of spaces. The one area that he particularly talked about was a prompter. Said a prompter or a prompt engineer, that is going to be really in demand. Maybe as a prompt engineer. I'm not an engineer, so it doesn't come to me so readily. But these are just a sampling of so many. One other one I'll just mention, but there's just so many. I had a guest on, Martha Bullen. She's been in the business of helping people self-publish their books for 30-plus years. And Martha was on the show. And Martha talked about the explosion in self-publishing. Back when I wrote my book, if you were self-publishing, then people were under the impression you couldn't get a publisher.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're not very likely to get much traction from your book. When I wrote my book, I was fortunate. Prentice Hall was my publisher. But nowadays, things have changed. You can easily publish one book at a time. You don't even have to do hard copy as we had to do. When I got the rights to my book, I had to go to a printer, print out a whole bunch of copies of my book when I got the rights to it. Nowadays, there's so much available to people, both in terms of the whole printing aspect of it, as well as the marketing aspect of it, that enables you to potentially be very successful with not a lot of money invested in self-publishing. So again, there are myriad opportunities out there, Anika, and that's what we try to shine a light on with Looking Forward.
Well, I can tell you have such a zest for life and that you've brought this attitude to everything that you've done, every opportunity you've had, whether it was a side hustle, something for fun, something you're passionate about, or your day job, which you also infused with a lot of passion. What do you see as your what next? Because we've been talking a lot about the future, and you've talked about this age, you still have to stay really agile and be interested and engaged with life.
I think it's a phenomenal question, by the way. Not just because I think I know how to answer it, but I think it's a great question, because I think it's something, particularly as we think about a new year, a birthday, whatever it might be. And I've just had a birthday a little while ago, not
Happy
that
birthday.
Long ago. And, you know, at the time of this recording, it's not too far from now, we'll be in a new year. So I think everybody should stop, if only that, twice a year, birthday, end of year, into a new year, and take stock.
Yeah.
Because we shouldn't be on autopilot. But to answer your question, in terms of my quote-unquote work, and this is very important. Let me back up. Work-life balance, very important. Very important. So I don't want to work full-time anymore. That is not what I'm doing. And I have to rein myself in when I start to go in that direction, because it's very easy to do that. But life is too short. And that's one of the things that we realize as we get older, is how important and precious our time is.
Yeah.
So having said that, in terms of business, I know a lot of people have this challenge. I am really continuing to try to prune the things that I'm doing with work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a position where I'm fortunate. I don't have to work to make a lot of money anymore. It's a different situation. My kids are grown, doing fine. So I can pretty much take on what I want to do. So I clearly want to continue with looking forward. We may be taking on, you know, some episodes that are a little bit more about specific job possibilities as opposed to trends, but job possibilities related to trends. We're looking to continue to get looking forward content out in a variety of ways. I did some events this year with guest experts, live events. Ask Me Anything events, Looking Forward Encore, Ask Me Anything events. I have a Looking Forward column I'd like to get out to a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at the possibility of doing a mini cast, and we're already doing clips. And I want to get the content in whatever form distributed in more places in Africa and other places around the world.
Wonderful.
So people can become more aware of these opportunities. Because again, I'm so convinced that millions of people look for opportunities every day.
Yeah.
Millions of people. And in fact, after our call, shortly after, I'm talking with somebody from the U.S. Department of Commerce with whom I've been working, and Brazil, somebody from Brazil.
Wow.
So I'm looking at getting this out there. Again, just limiting this to work, I'm looking to continue my voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm producing two new demo reels that should be out there by February. So that's another thing. The third thing is I really love to create podcasts, and I love to host or co-host them.
Nice.
For other people. For other people.
Yeah.
I have co-hosted other podcasts. I've got room to co-host one or two more, but I'm equally interested in helping people create podcasts. I've got my own ideas. If they have an idea, I could help them figure it out, what they got to do, the slant, etc., the form or format that it takes, and that sort of thing. And then the last thing that I'm looking to do, which kind of really fits with all this, is I love to collaborate. So whether that's collaboration to help somebody who's looking for something, or whether it's collaboration with somebody where we can both help one another in some sort of synergistic way, or if it's collaborating and actually doing some sort of a project together. I'm always interested in doing that sort of thing with kindred spirits, such as you alluded to in the very beginning. Now, outside of that, I'll mention just very quickly.
Absolutely.
I co-lead a group on stoicism, the practice of stoicism, which is really about maintaining a healthy outlook on life, even as we hit the inevitable tough bumps in the road, the little bumps and the big bumps. So I've been a student of Stoicism for the last maybe 5 years. It's an everyday challenge, but at least there's a lot to learn from the practice of Stoicism. I'm talking about people like Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, Epictetus, the big three with Stoicism, if anybody's interested in that. So that's one thing. Exercise and fitness. I bought a recumbent bike, and I'm going to start using that in addition to all the walking I do. When I go down to Florida, which I will do soon for a few months, I'm going to be kayaking and biking with my daughters and probably somebody else. So that will continue to be an interest of mine. I also take classes at the University of Delaware's Lifelong Learning, and I co-lead a class there called Current Issues. So there's plenty to it. I love listening to music. I just love listening to music, and I like meeting people as well.
Yeah, I can tell. And I'm definitely going to have you back on, because like this is just the start of our conversation, and there's so much more that you can teach my audience. And I love that you were saying, how do you do it all? But I'm saying the same thing back to you, because you obviously have a very full, robust life, but full of things that bring you joy. So I love seeing that. And I think that is the example we all need to look at. How can we fill our lives with joy in everything we do, whether it is work, whether it's play, family time, learning, continuing to, you know, use our mind muscles and expand our horizons. So
I want to add to that. There is a great quote. This is not my favorite quote.
Okay.
I can talk about my favorite saying, but there is a great quote from Socrates, I believe, that says the unexamined life, you may know this, is not worth living.
Yeah.
And the whole point of that is that we need to be self-aware.
Yeah.
And I am self-aware, and that's maybe part of why I'm also self-critical, because I see too clearly that sometimes I'm veering off the path. And part of why I veer off the path, and maybe some of your listeners may identify with this, I know quite a few people who don't. I get lots of ideas. I think up things all the time. ADD is a challenge for me.
Yes, same.
Exactly. And how do you rein that in? How do you accept the fact that your time is finite, not only in the day, in your life.
Yeah.
So the unexamined life truly isn't worth living. It's very important to be self-aware, to know where you're doing things right, where you're falling short. It will change from day to day, but to try to keep yourself as close as you can to being on the track and knowing what the track is that you want to be on. So I wanted to point that out, and I also wanted to point out for your listeners, my favorite saying is nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I probably should look up at some point, you may know this, Anika, who was it that said that, if it's even attributable to somebody? But I just think that is so true. And I've said this to my daughters as well, which is you can't sit and wait for something to happen that you want to happen. Mm-hmm. You have to make it happen. It may not happen. But if you're not playing that game, right, if you don't get on that field, it ain't going to happen for sure. So I kind of identify with this, better to be sorry for things I've done than things I should have done.
Yeah.
Or better to regret something that I tried and it didn't work out than not having tried it at all. Whether it's love or a passion or a job that you wanted to get or a career you wanted to pursue, a major you wanted, whatever it is. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. I believe so strongly in it. It's really proven to be true for me in my life. And I know I'm not the only one.
Yeah, Jeff, that both of those resonate so deeply with me, as has this whole conversation. I'm going to wrap it up here, but I want to ask, so we'll have your podcast link in the show notes. If people want to learn more about how they can start a podcast, or they have an idea but they don't want to host it, what's the best way to reach out to you?
The best way to reach out to me, two ways.
Okay.
The one way is my website, where they can learn a lot more about me if they're interested. www.jeff-ostroff, OS as in Sam, TROFF as in Florida, Florida.com. And then I'm on LinkedIn, as you know. So Perfect. They could also find me at LinkedIn. There is another Jeff Ostroff. Sometimes I get emails for, and he's done a very good job of doing YouTube videos. But he and I are totally different because he's all about engineering and mechanics and all that. And that's probably the last thing that you'd want to talk to me about. But if you want to talk to me about idea creation, marketing, communications, podcasting, voiceovers, interviewing, collaboration, that's me.
Love it. This has been such a fun conversation. I've gotten so much energy from you. So thank you for pouring into our community here at Your Brand Amplified. And thank you to the audience for watching or listening this episode, whether you found us on a podcast streaming platform, Radio 360 for Women, or Traverse TV streaming platform. With that, I will be back again in a few days with another amazing expert to share their energy, their passion, and their enthusiasm and some great life lessons for you. And until then, have a great week.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.